Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 tonight, verse 36 and 37. Acts 4, verse 36 and 37. The scripture says, "Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Talking about Barnabas, the son of encouragement, as we think about the example that he set. And we notice six different things about Barnabas. First of all, we notice that he is a giver and not a taker. As we notice in this passage, the first thing that we read about him is that he owned a tract of land and sold it and brought it to the apostles' feet. So we see that he sacrificed for the cause of Christ. He had a deep love and care and concern for his brethren. You might remember at this time about 3,000 had obeyed the gospel of Christ at Jerusalem. And so here are all those who have come from other places, from other nations. And so they're learning the apostles' doctrine. And so here are those willing to sacrifice. And Barnabas is one who is specifically mentioned here, of course, along with many other brethren. We notice that there are many takers in our society. Barnabas was not like that. We need to imitate his example of being a giver. We remember that in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, saying that Jesus said often, even though we don't read it in the Gospels, where the Lord Jesus, he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Hopefully we have the attitude and mindset as we think about the son of encouragement, that we can be encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ in their time of need, not only financially, but also being there for support and for prayers and for encouragement for them to keep on keeping on. Also, we notice from Acts chapter 9, another thing concerning Barnabas here in Acts chapter 9. Notice here in this passage here concerning Barnabas and his example that he had set in Acts chapter 9. We notice here in Acts chapter 9, I was looking for concerning, Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. Apologize for that. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, talking about Saul before he became Paul here. But they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Notice in verse 27, "But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus." Now, I want you to think about this with Barnabas. Remember that Saul was a persecutor of the church. He had put men and women into prison. And he was going to for more, even cast his vote against the brethren to have them put to death. And of course, we know that he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. He obeyed the gospel, and now he is preaching the gospel of Christ. But you think about concerning Satan and concerning his damage, doing his most causing division among the brethren. And if he is able to come on the inside, and if he is not a true disciple of Christ, you can see those who be like, "Well, we can't trust him." And Ananias, of course, had said, you know, concerning the Lord, "Hey, you know how much harm he has done?" And he said, he's mine." And so he baptized him. And who was the first one as he tried to associate himself with the disciples at Jerusalem? Barnabas was the one who stood up for a faithful brother. And what would have happened if he did not? There had to be somebody that was going to stand up for him. You know, others might say, "Well, you know what? We're not going to have him. He's trying to associate with us, and we're not going to have fellowship with him." And so you see the difficulty he would have in preaching the gospel of Christ if somebody didn't stand up for him. And he stood up for a faithful brother. We need those who are encouragers that are going to stand up for faithful brethren. even though they might be considered those who are not in accordance with the rest of the brotherhood, but are going to expose false teachers and stand up for the truth of God's word, like we support Dennis Scroggins and others who are going to stand up faithfully for the truth of God's word. And so we need those who are like Barnabas, who stood up for Saul. And of course, we know the results of him preaching the gospel of Christ. Many, many souls were saved as a result, and it started with Barnabas standing up for him. Also, we notice in Acts chapter 11, here we see in Acts chapter 11, and many people are turning to the Lord. The gospel is spreading. The gospel has been opened to the Gentiles. Cornelius and his household have been baptized, and so the gospel is spreading. And here to the church at Antioch here. In verse 22, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Who did they send off here? They sent Barnabas. He was reliable. He taught the truth of God's word. Considerable numbers are brought to the Lord. And you think about the preaching journeys. Of course, we usually think, first of all, about the Apostle Paul. Now, what's interesting, as you look many times as Barnabas and Paul, Saul who became Paul, first of all, Barnabas is mentioned first, and then later on, Paul is mentioned first. But in Acts chapter 13, as it mentions prophets and teachers that are there at Antioch, it mentions in verse 2, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, this wasn't even just concerning the brethren sending them off, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. When you think about somebody who is dependable and reliable, trustworthy, you can depend upon him. The Holy Spirit said, set me apart Barnabas and Paul. He is going to teach the truth. Very important concerning the first preaching journey that goes on. And later on in that same chapter, in verse 46, here the whole city has assembled to hear the word of the Lord. Wouldn't it be a great thing? The all of Fort Worth was assembling to hear the word of the Lord at one time. This happened here as recorded in verse 44. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas didn't cower. They didn't give in. They didn't compromise. They spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. And of course, the Gentiles rejoiced as a result of that. Concerning those who would reliably teach the truth, be able to endure persecution for the cause of Jesus Christ. We see that Barnabas is very faithful and boldly speaking out for the truth of God's word. Along that same realm, when controversy had come to the church at Jerusalem, false doctrine had come into the church at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up, saying it is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. And so we notice here concerning Barnabas, here is a matter of the truth there, and he was willing to contend earnestly for the faith. How many are willing to contend earnestly for the faith, or just say, well, let's just let it ride and see what happens? We see what would have happened to the church at Jerusalem. They just allow the false teachers to go on, and the Gentiles are just circumcised, and then therefore the gospel is not going to flourish any longer, and the Gentiles are basically going to be shut out. But he contended earnestly for the faith. We also notice later on in the same chapter, seemed like a good thing here where Paul and Barnabas had a successful first preaching journey. Many souls are saved, and so they want to go and see how the brethren are doing. After some days, in verse 36 of Acts 15, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But there's a problem, because remember, John Mark had left earlier. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas turned around and quit and put a campaign against Paul. No, that's not what happened. Unfortunately, that happens today. Here's a matter of judgment, and yes, there was a sharp disagreement. You could imagine the arguments that are going on. It wasn't just a polite discussion and disagreement. Paul is saying there's no way we're going to take John Mark, and Barnabas, you know, he might even say, he's your cousin. No wonder you're going to do that. We don't know what had occurred and what had said. And Barnabas said, well, he can still be useful. And you notice concerning, there wasn't division as a result of that. We notice what the scripture says here, getting back to verse 38. verse 39. There occurred such a sharp disagreement, separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And so the gospel was still able to go on as far as checking up on the brethren, which is very important. With those in foreign works, you understand the importance of seeing how the brethren are doing, to actually being there. Because you recognize concerning them when they're gone, hey, false teachers might come in and deceive the brethren. They don't have a strong foundation yet. We need to go check on the brethren. And so Barnabas didn't give up on John Mark. There was unity. There wasn't division. I want you to think about not long before Apostle Paul was about to pass away in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now what if Barnabas doesn't take John Mark and he thinks he's not useful? You just wonder if he would have been useful again. As I think about those who have been discouraged at a young age, and here they had failed, and then maybe other brethren saying, well, you're a loser. You're no good. We don't know why John Mark left the work. For whatever reason, he left the work. But Barnabas took John Mark, and many years later in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 11, as the apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and it says, "Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service." You notice the arrogant, you know, you think about concerning Paul is that, you know, he didn't have any grudge against John Mark. He was concerned about the work being done. And at the end here, he said, yes, he is useful for me for service. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, here is able to encourage John Mark. Didn't give up on John Mark. And as we think about others maybe who have failed before and here they repent and confess and make it right that, hey, he can be useful to the service of our Lord. Because you think about those who are gospel preachers, maybe in their first work and how difficult that first work is. And sometimes it's a make or break situation whereby it's going to be very likely a difficult situation to endure through, and you know, it doesn't go very well, but they receive encouragement from somebody else, from other brethren. Hey, you need to continue preaching on. And they learn and they grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they understand the will, and they mature to whereby they are seasoned in preaching the gospel of Christ and standing for the truth of God's word. Paul says concerning John Mark, he is useful to me for service, but Barnabas is the one that was there, and there is unity instead of division. But you know what? Barnabas was not a perfect man for sure. And as we think about our mistakes maybe being mentioned in the scriptures, it might be a horrible thing to realize. Maybe things that we have been forgiven of. We usually remember concerning Peter and playing the hypocrite in Galatians chapter 2, but sometimes we forget about Barnabas. You remember in Galatians chapter 2, look at the context here in verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, when Cephas came to Antioch, Apostle Paul says, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party, the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. I mean, we think about concerning Barnabas, how strong and steadfast and faithful he had been. And yet, we see here concerning Peter and his example, and he's one of the apostles, and you see that the Jews and the strong opposition that they had concerning the Gentiles, this is a matter to whereby the Gentiles can be just totally torn apart from the church as Peter's playing the hypocrite, and Barnabas joins in the hypocrisy. But as we think about that statement there, years later on, very likely Galatians is one of the first letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. And several years later in the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul mentions Barnabas in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 6, the Apostle Paul talks about we have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas. And then he said in verse 6, or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? Thinking we can say by necessary inference, after this period of time, there was clearly that he manifested a penitent attitude. He was a humble disciple of Christ, and we think about concerning the Apostle Peter in the same way. After this period of time, the letters, the epistles that were written after that fact, that he would have shown a penitent attitude. As we see here, that he wasn't a perfect man. And as we think about his example, not that he sinned, but that he was willing to make it right at some point in his life, which should be an example to each and every one of us. So as you think about imitating Barnabas, the son of encouragement, are we a giver or are we a taker? Do we take the time to give, to help needy saints, to see to their needs, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual needs? Take the time to talk to them, to write to them, to give them a phone call, to give them a visit, or we just expect others to take care of us and our needs. Do we stand up for a faithful brother or a faithful sister in Christ, maybe especially as they're going through severe persecution, going through suffering. And as you think about concerning the truth, as we think about opportunities, as David mentioned, examples concerning opportunities in our daily life to serve others and to teach them the truth of God's Word and be reliable to do that. Those opportunities are out there to whereby we're going to teach the truth to them so that their souls might be saved. Brian led the song, Send the Light, the blessed gospel light. And it certainly is the blessed gospel light that could save souls. When there's issues of controversy that arise, are we going to be like Barnabas and contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints, as Jude 1, in that one chapter, verse 3, teaches on marriage, divorce, remarriage, or on creation, or many other issues as we talked about last Sunday night? Or are we going to be ones who are going to promote unity in the faith, or we're going to contend earnestly for our opinion and cause division? And if there's sharp disagreement, and we're going to make the other person's name like mud. We recognize concerning, even if there are sharp disagreements, if it's a matter of judgment, we can still go on and carry on with the gospel of Christ. And, you know, and pray for maybe reconciliation later on. We see that they were able to continue to preach the gospel in different places. And also especially when we think about us as brothers and sisters in Christ, that when we sin, that we're not going to justify it. We're not going to make excuses or shift the blame to somebody else. But that we're going to have that penitent attitude. We're going to have that godly sorrow leading to repent of our sins so that we might be reconciled, whatever the problem is, with our brother or sister in Christ or towards God Himself. As we see Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Let us all be encouragers in our life. We need to be exhorted. When you think about the gospel being preached, to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. Do what is right. Our lives here are very short, and eternity is forever. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, if you need to obey the gospel tonight, you can do that. You can be baptized for remission of sins, or if you need to be restored, or if you need the encouragement of the brethren here and ask for prayers of the congregation, you can do that. God calls. We encourage you to come. Right now, it's just 10 and 6.